Hello, this is Greg McCoy with RE/MAX Unlimited Real Estate in Peoria, Illinois. Welcome to our podcast today. And our subject today is the current status of the mortgage market in the central Illinois area. And as my guest today, we have Stacy Frederking of Busey Bank. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And Stacy, if you wouldn't mind, if you could just start out spending maybe 30 seconds just kind of telling us what you do at Busey Bank.
At Busey Bank, I am a mortgage loan originator. And I have consumers come to me and I help educate them on the process of purchasing a home. We pull credit and let them know where they stand, and then we go through the next steps of what needs to be done to prepare them to find a house that fits their needs and their income guidelines.
All right. Well, given all of the headlines that we've seen for the last few months, all the financial crisis that the nation is going through, the housing crisis and so forth, there's some feeling and perception out in the marketplace that it's much more difficult, if not impossible, to get a loan to buy a house. So what is the current situation of that subject in this area?
In the Tri-County area, we are still having a great market. There's still a lot of people purchasing homes. You do actually not have to have 20% down to buy a house. You can get up to 100% financing. There's a rural development program still available that's 100% financing. There is the VA loans, which is 100% financing. Your government FHA, which is 97% financing, but you are allowed to get your down payment from a family member or a grant program that is still available in the Tri-County area. So there are still quite a few different options for home buyers. It just depends on what one that you would fit into.
Now, you mentioned up to 100% financing, in other words, no down payment. We might point out that that's only for personal residence. Is that correct?
That is correct. When purchasing a primary residence, you can get 100% financing. If you're purchasing an investment home does require a minimum of 20% down.
All right. Well, again, as we mentioned, the perception out there is that things are a lot worse in the mortgage market, and you just said they're not as bad as the newspapers would indicate. But one question I have is, what has, in fact, been lost over the last 6 to 12 months? What was going on back 2 years ago in the go-go days when things were just wild in the market that isn't going on now?
Well, no longer is there stated programs. You cannot just go in and write down what you're making and what your assets are and not have to provide documentation in regards to what is actually correct of your financial picture. We do require your past 2 years of tax returns, a most recent pay stub, and a most recent bank statement for everyone in every program. So that is a huge difference. There's no more stated programs. And then the other thing is with your government loans, with your FHA 97% financing, the 3% used to be able to come from the seller through programs such as AmeriDream and the Genesis program, but those programs are no longer. However, you still can get your down payment from a family member or maybe a grant program that's going on in the area.
Okay, but sounds like things are still available. Let's talk a little bit more specifically about first-time home buyers. What are the maybe one or two or three best programs right now for first-time home buyers?
Well, for first-time home buyers, maybe ones that don't have much money down right now, the City of Peoria still has a $10,000 grant if you are in the appropriate income guidelines. Also, for first-time home buyers, there is rural development. If you are in a rural area, which includes Chillicothe, Dunlap, the entire county of Woodford County, and outskirt Lyon areas, you are able to get 100% financing through rural development and even finance in the closing costs if the home should appraise for enough to cover that.
Okay, along those lines, one of the advantages of some of these first-time homebuyer programs is not having to pay something called PMI. Could you just take 30 seconds to tell us what PMI is, what it stands for, what it means? And are some of the programs, in fact, allowing you to skip that?
Okay. PMI is private mortgage insurance, and anytime you have less than 20% down, your lenders require what's called PMI. Private mortgage insurance covers the bank. If you should foreclose on your home, it helps cover our attorney's fees and so forth. programs that are available that do not have PMI. Rural development would be one of those. So that 100% financing program does not have PMI. Your 100% VA loans also do not have a monthly PMI. And then FHA does have a reduced amount of PMI per month compared to your conventional loans.
And again, VA stands for?
VA stands for Veteran Administration, so it is for veterans only.
Okay. All right, one of the things that people always ask about, probably the first thing that they ask about when they start shopping around for a loan, is interest rates. And unfortunately, that many times they only ask about interest rates. So I want to ask a couple quick questions on that. First of all, what are your thoughts on interest rates for people shopping around? And then secondly, are there some other things that they need to ask a bank about other than interest rates?
For interest rates, first you want to, when shopping, you want to call around on that same day, probably even that same afternoon or morning, whichever time frame that is best for you. But rates are subject to change on a daily basis. They have even changed as much as 3 times in one day. So when you are rate shopping, you need to do it all in the same time frame when you're shopping from bank to bank. Also, when looking for interest rates, it's important to know that each program and each borrower could have a different interest rate. Interest rates are based off of how much money you're putting down, what your credit scores are, and then the different program that you choose to do. So they do vary from a wide range. You could even be as different as from 6% to 7% from one program or one borrower to another. You have to look at the big picture and not just focus on one thing being 5% down, one borrower. It's not the same across the board.
And you mentioned interest rates change a lot on a daily basis, even within the same day, especially in the last 6 months where there's been so much volatility in the market. It's not unusual for interest rates to jump or drop, what, 0.5% even within a specific day. So it is very important for people to compare apples to apples when they're calling around different banks. So if a person called bank number one today, got a quote, and they didn't call bank number two for 3 or 4 days, they could get a significantly different number, but that may or may not, in fact, represent an apples to apples comparison. Is that right?
That is correct. The best thing to ask a lender for, if you are comparing apples to apples, is to ask them for a good faith estimate and a truth in lending disclosure. If you know your credit score, you could give them that information. And then if you're looking for, say, a 5% down conventional program, give them that information, ask them for a good faith estimate and a truth in lending, and then you can really sit down and compare what your cost to do your loan is and what the fees that are applied to that particular program. If someone's charging origination fees, discount points, and the other fees, it's good to know that up front because that will vary your interest rate also.
One of the things that sometimes buyers will mention to me as a realtor is that they got on the internet and did some rate shopping and they found this great rate from company XYZ on the internet. Do you want to comment on that at all?
Well, interest rates actually do vary from state to state also. They're not the same across the board. And then also with the internet, again, you want to be very careful because different companies and different brokers charge different fees. So you want to make sure you're getting as much education on what you are getting into before you sign any dotted lines.
So that's why it's important to ask for a good faith estimate. Mm-hmm. Because you may be getting a lower interest rate from somebody, but then at closing you find out you get socked with a huge fee, which then totally wipes out any advantage that you gain by getting the lower interest rate.
That is correct.
Let's get information. All right, let's talk just a few minutes about credit ratings. What are credit ratings? How do they affect a person's ability to get a loan?
Well, credit scores, you have the three major credit bureaus. You have TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian. Credit scores range between 350 and 850. The ideal credit score being in the 700s, actually even above 720 would be the best credit score from 720 on up. Our bottom line credit score is 580, and that is for government financing. But anything in above 580, you would be able to at least purchase in utilizing an FHA program versus conventional. So basically, you take your credit ratings, get that information, and then you would be able to determine what programs that you would fit into and make an educated decision on which one works best for you.
But you said that 580 is about the minimum right now, but that changes over time, right? It's not always 580. Sometimes it's higher, sometimes it's lower, depending on what the market's doing, or is it pretty much set at 580?
Well, FHA financing did not used to have credit score guidelines, but due to the change in the economy this past year, they have, a lot of the investors have placed credit score minimums for a lot of programs. So some do have 580, some actually are even higher than that at 600. It does vary for the different investors, but as of right now, 580 is the score, and it's the same one that I've seen since the beginning of 2008.
Okay. Well, let's just say someone has, for whatever reason, had some bad luck or made some bad decisions or whatever, and their credit rating isn't up to that minimum at this point. What advice do you have for them?
Definitely get a copy of your credit report. At Busey Bank, I know that we do credit reports for free, and I like to provide them to customers, walk them through what their credit bureau states, and then educate them on what needs to be done. Typically, what you will see a lot of the times is someone with credit cards and their credit card balances are very close or even exceeded their limits. Credit cards have a huge impact on credit scores. So if you are in that situation where you have some credit cards that are close to their limits, I definitely would recommend paying those down. Credit bureaus ideally would like to see your credit card balances 50% of your limits and lower. It's definitely looking at that ability to make your payments on time and not go up to your spending limits. Another thing to look at is collections. If you have any collections that are not medical, those would have to be paid off. And then I do definitely recommend anytime you get any updated information for your credit bureau is to send that information directly to the credit agencies and not wait for the creditor to update that. Sometimes that may not be the quickest way to get things cleaned up.
What about bankruptcies? Somebody's had a bankruptcy in the past year, 2 years, 3 years. How does that affect them? How long do they have to wait for that? And how do they go about remedying that?
With a bankruptcy, there are two types. You have a Chapter 7 bankruptcy where you would write everything off. And with a Chapter 7 bankruptcy, you have to wait 2 years from the day of discharge before you're able to get additional financing to purchase a primary residence. In that two-year time frame from your date of discharge, it is very important for you to rebuild your credit. Many people make the mistake of paying cash for everything after that, but more importantly is showing that, you know, you are changing and you're improving your situation and you do have the ability to make payments on time on a monthly basis for a period of time. The other type of bankruptcy is Chapter 13 bankruptcy, and that's the bankruptcy where you get set up on a payment plan to pay everything back. With the Chapter 13 bankruptcy, you only have to prove a one-year pay history in regards to your bankruptcy, and then also get permission from your attorney to enter into additional financing. So Chapter 13 bankruptcy, since you are paying everything back, you have that rebuild of your credit, and a lot of times your credit scores remain higher anyway. So with Chapter 13 bankruptcy, it doesn't even have to be discharged before you can enter into additional financing for a new home.
Great. Well, looks like we have pretty much run out of time. In summary, sounds like you have some good news for people out there that want to buy a house, that need to borrow money. The money is out there. The programs are out there. As long as you have a decent credit rating, credit score, and can demonstrate what you make, it's a good idea to sit down and talk with you at Busey Bank and see where they can take that. Is that right?
That's right. Thanks so much for your time and for listening.
Thanks for being with us today. And thank you out in the radio world for being with us in our podcast. And we look forward to seeing you again for the next one. Thanks.